The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Let's get straight into it. The Barnardo's annual back to school survey is out today, and there are mixed feelings among children about a return to school. Also, will the rise in unemployment affect how many people will, how much money they will have to spend, how they can spend it? But a lot of people listening to the programme will have children of school going age. We'd love you to contribute to this, and you can do that by texting us 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Immediately, though, I'm joined by Tanya Ward, who's the Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance. Good evening, Tanya. Thank you for taking the time to talk about this. Children and COVID, how have they been affected by the pandemic? Or at least, what have they told us about how they've been affected?
Well, what's really striking, I think, from this study, and really it's a kind of a snapshot of how children, young people are feeling, how parents are feeling at a particular point in time, is that they're telling us that they really miss being in school. And even if you ask children, and all the surveys done with children, you ask them, what do they miss most about school, or what matters most to them about school, they would always say friends and play. And that's what's really coming through here. What I thought was really striking as well is right now, a lot of children and young people have very negative feelings about going back to school. But one in five were saying they were concerned about going back to school. And some of that is about children are concerned that, you know, they haven't seen their friends in such a long time. They're wondering, will they fit in? There's a bit of social anxiety around that. And children are just like us. They're living through this pandemic. They have all the same fears. They're exposed to all the same news and media. And they're concerned about getting COVID-19. They're concerned they'll come home and give their granny or a family member COVID-19. This study is really echoing what we are hearing from our 100-plus members across the country, is that there seems to be high levels of anxiety and emotional worry and mental health issues starting to emerge from children and young people, because they really paid the price not being in school, not getting to socialise with other children and young people, and living through a global pandemic.
Well, adults who've gone back in to the workplace after the lockdown, after being 4 or 5 months away, you know, locked up at home, very, very small, limited circle of people, they have experienced difficulties re-socialising and reintegrating. Right. You know, I think everybody's been through this. You say hello, you can't shake hands or you can't hug, so it's kind of awkward. You have the COVID conversation, which takes all of about 40 seconds, and it's the same conversation you've had with everybody else for 5 months. Then after that, you don't know what to say because you haven't got anything to say, you haven't done anything, you haven't any experience to bring to the conversation. Yeah. So kids will be, it's going to be very difficult for them, and it's going to require delicate handling on the part of the teachers, isn't it?
I think so. I really think so. And the other thing that I suppose we're worried about is a lot of children themselves are worried about they're falling behind in their studies. They've fallen behind academically. And we know for children that come from disadvantaged backgrounds, children with disabilities, children where there might be child protection issues, they're the ones that have really fallen behind. And they are very anxious about what's going to happen for them. If you think of it, 6 months out of school, I mean, that's a lifetime for a child in primary school. It's a significant length of time for a child in secondary school. And the kind of things they're worried about, that transitioning piece. They're worried about, if I go into first year in secondary school, how am I going to get on? I've just missed 6 months of school. They're worried about going into fifth year, sixth year. That's all coming through in the Barnardo survey. So it's really telling us we have a lot of work to do to try and settle children and young people, because here's the thing, it's very hard to learn when you're worried and when you're emotionally upset and when you're stressed. And I think there's a real role here, not just for schools, but also for our youth services. You know, if we, like, youth services pay huge dividends. A good youth worker can make a huge difference in a child's life. I think if we invest in those areas, I think we'll be able to address the fallout from COVID for children and young people emotionally.
But Tanya, that element of school care, you know, the mental wellness, the well-being, that side of their lives was under-resourced and under-supported prior to COVID. Now, trying to get them back now, just getting them back is going to put everybody to the pin of their collar. It's highly unlikely that that aspect has received the kind of extra bump up in funding that it deserves, and it's probably going to be needed even more than ever. So can you see potential problems there?
Well, where we're going to see potential problems is where when you have the acute psychological services, right? Because we know at the moment there's long waiting lists for those, and we know that there's a shortage of staff in those services. But actually, when it comes to, you know, the first step, you know, a good youth worker working with a group of children and young people, that's not going to cost us a lot of money. And there are services out there, dedicated services, ready and waiting to step into the breach. So I'd love to see, you know, the government come out with another roadmap, you know, looking at educational disadvantage, giving children, closing the gap for children around COVID-19. Because here's the thing I'm really worried about. I'm worried about we've created a generation of children that just aren't going to reach their full potential because of COVID-19. There seems to be very high levels of disengagement from the education sector. And we were hearing that from our members within a month of the school shutting down. But the Department of Education is getting this from across the country. So there's a real need to prioritise this, get the schools open, and then start looking at closing the gap because of COVID-19.
Well, the, particularly on the mental side of it, an ounce of prevention in this regard could save many, many pounds of cure down the road. You're listening to News Talk. I'm talking to Tanya Ward, who's the Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, about the Barnardo's annual Back to School survey, which is talking about what the kids have been telling the survey. Now, the parents... obviously, they're delighted that the schools are reopening, but a lot of them, their financial circumstances have changed dramatically since the beginning of this. And a lot of them are, you know, they're struggling to put food on the table and keep the lights on in the house. And going back to school is always very expensive. So what were they? Was that the primary concern for the parents you talked to?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the parents are really concerned what's coming is on the emotional and social development of their children. I mean, you hear this from parents are ringing all the phone lines saying that I see my child is becoming very withdrawn. I see my young child actually, and this happens for, say, for babies, what can happen when they miss out on, let's say, going to their early year centre, you find that they become more baby-like. All those milestones that they've reached, they start actually regressing. And that's what's coming through from the parents, really worried about their children regressing socially and emotionally. But the other thing is really the struggle financially. That's what's really glaring here, because you do have a lot of parents on low pay and then a lot of parents still on the COVID payment as well. And what you see here is about a third of parents saying that to be able to pay those back to school costs, you know, in the region of 300 up to 700 over 700 if you're going to first year in secondary school, they're saying that they're juggling, will I pay the bill? I'm going to have to forgo paying the bills, the household bills actually, to be able to pay this cost. And 1 in 10 are resorting to even borrowing that money. And that's really worrying, because you worry about families getting into debt. Remember, they will have burned through any savings because they've been out of work for the last 6 months, and they're trying to keep their head above water. And now they're just getting into debt as well. And what we know, again, this comes down to that, you know, two different groups of children in the country. Some children will be fine. They'll have the new pair of runners in September. They'll get all their school books. And their parents will still have the money to pay for art lessons, music lessons, sports activities. But we know for those parents who can just about pay the school costs, or who are really struggling or who are getting into debt, all of that gets written off. So there are lots of children whose horizons are never, you know, they never get to do those kinds of activities. And in a way, that's just not right or fair, because in other countries, you know, the kind of costs that parents have to pay here, they're actually free. So if you're born north of the border, you get your school books for free. You don't have to pay any voluntary cost in the school. You can get music lessons for free. You even get a musical instrument and things like that. And in all the countries in Europe that do well around addressing child poverty, all of these kinds of things are free. And that's where I think we need to work towards as a country. We need to make sure that every parent in the country, they don't, that, you know, many are struggling to keep their head above water. They're in low paid jobs, or they're struggling and they're swamped with rent. It means these costs are just too high a burden for them to carry.
Tanya, did the survey touch on homeschooling and how they got on with it and how they felt about it? Did they get the kind of supports that they were looking for? Did they enjoy it even?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things, this is a funny statistic, right? Because I have a son and a daughter, you know, and, you know, every now and then there would be huge scraps at the kitchen table. And one of the things that came through just from the children themselves, they said 65% did not enjoy trying to learn with their brother or sister. I saw echoes of that in my own household. But what was interesting from the children's perspective, about 50% said they enjoyed being with their parents and 50% said they didn't. And parents themselves, what they were saying, I thought that was interesting, was half said actually they got the right amount of material from the school and it was just about right. But you had, you know, over a quarter that said, no, I wasn't happy with the support I was getting from the school. And we would have seen this ourselves coming through the member organisations, a lot of dissatisfaction from some parents saying, look, I'm been given way too much to get through. They're completely stressed out themselves, because the worst off were actually those two parents' households and one parent's household where they were trying to work at home and hold down a full-time job. They were not good learning experiences for children or for the parents themselves. There's no quality of life in that. And then some parents saying, just not getting enough guidance. Don't know why I'm being asked to do this with the child and not getting, you know, really not just getting enough. And it really, I suppose, demonstrates the need for more clear direction to parents in these types of homeschooling situations. But the truth is, with young children, particularly early years, primary school going children, they actually need to be in school. They're the ones that really lose out. You can probably do some homeschooling with second level children and young people, but the truth is, again, they really benefit from being in that learning environment. They learn from each other as much as from the teacher, you know.
Tanya Ward, Chief Executive of the Children's Rights Alliance, thank you for joining us here on News Talk. A few texts on the back of that, by the way. I think leaving kids out of school any longer will only make anxieties worse. They need to go back. Well, we all know that. They need to go back. Well, as I've said a couple of times already, but we absolutely need to make sure that it is done safely and properly. They have enough time to do it properly and safely. Children need normality back and are also very upset and disturbed with all this mask wearing, says Mairead. Okay, I haven't encountered that myself, but I'm sure, Mairead, in your experience, it's true. My daughter is 7, really worried about going back to school. She's an only child. She missed her friends so much. We live in a very rural part of Offaly, so even arranging play dates now that lockdown is lifted is hard. And she's retreated into herself quite a lot. Ah, that's sad. Well, you know, the only thing I can say is that's very upsetting for you as a parent. But they are, you know, they're like rubber balls. They're very resilient. And I'm sure as soon as she, you know, it gets back into the swing of things, she will too. Well, I certainly hope so. Lord, save me from the hand-wringers. Children are far more... somebody's saying pretty much the same thing, although maybe a little more trenchantly. Children are far more resilient than adults. If they're stressed over school, we can rest assured that they've been amply prepped by their parents, says Brian. Mark, oh, that's a question for the Minister later on. Actually, by the way, we've got the Minister for Children, Roderick O'Connor, joining us a little later on. If you've got something that... Roderick O'Gorman, I beg your pardon. I knew I was going to do that. I've been mixing that up all day. Roderick O'Gorman, I beg your pardon, TD, Minister for Children, will be here. If you've got a question for him, send it to us. Text 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. When we talk about extra services, they are primarily aimed at post-primary. In primary, teachers are returning to jam-packed classes, particularly in the junior end, with no thought to the massive challenges of managing these classrooms at the best of times. I really wish they had split the week for September so that we could really support the children in return with more direct teacher care, engagement and support. This all-in policy is just going to be so challenging in meeting pupils' educational and social emotional needs, says Jenny in Leash. And she doesn't say so, but it sounds like she might actually be in the education business.